Revelation chapter number 2 tonight. Book of Revelation chapter number 2. If you'll find that, you say, well, where is Revelation? We should have a sword drill. That's what we should do. Last book, all right, Revelation chapter number 2. And we'll find that in the Word of God. First, the Ugaldis are going to sing for us. I'm looking forward to it.
It seems that every time I need Him, my Lord is always there. When no one else seems to have the time, Jesus always cares. But I wonder just what I might do if I called His name one day and the heavens above just opened up and I heard my Savior say, I'm through patching it up, I'm through giving you love when your world is torn apart, and I'll never again wash away your sin or mend your broken heart. I'm through bearing your burdens and all of the hurting and giving your poor heart ease. Tell me, why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me. But I thank my God in heaven each night. My Lord is not that way. I know He's watching over me each and every single day, and I don't have to wonder about His love, 'cause His mercy flows so free. I know just exactly what He'll say when I'm down on my knees. I'll always patch things up, I'll always give you love when your world is torn apart. No matter where you've been, I'll wash away your sin and I'll mend your broken heart. I'll always bear all your burdens and all of the hurting, and I'll give your poor heart ease. Yes, I'll always do anything for you, no matter what you do to me. Yes, I'll always do anything for you, no matter what you do to me.
Amen. Thank you for that good song. Revelation chapter number 2 in your Bibles, if you'll go there with me in the Word of God, Revelation chapter number 2. And let me once again put a plug in for tomorrow and Tuesday, church. I'm telling you, it's going to be a good meeting. And Monday and Tuesday night, our back to school revival. And I'm so excited to have once again Pastor Terry Angel with us. And he will be a blessing to you through his preaching. And the singing will be good. The choir will be singing. There'll be some special music as well. And tomorrow night in particular, I'm looking forward to the McDonald family that was with us back in July. They're going to be with us, and their kiddos are going to sing a couple for us. And so we'll look forward to that once again. And we'll have a great time these next 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. So I encourage you to be here 7 p.m. and let's have a great time in the house of the Lord these 2 days. Chapter 2 in your Bibles in the book of Revelation, and I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll give you the thought that the Lord has given us for tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We'll look at all of these verses, but the text of the Scripture is verse number 4. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach along those lines, back to the first love. Back to the first love. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the truth of your word. And God, I pray that you would please speak to hearts tonight, Lord, as we try to open your book. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we may understand things. And Lord, I pray that you would please speak to each individual heart. God, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to search our own heart and see if there's been any distance created between us and you. Lord, we want to be close to you. That's our desire. Lord, that's the reason we would have, Lord, even a meeting like we will tomorrow and Tuesday. God, to help us examine ourselves and to make a move towards you, Lord, if we have drifted in any of our spiritual life. Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our life tonight, Lord, as we open your scripture. I pray that you would please use the message. I pray that you'd fill me with your power. God, I must have your help. I'm, Lord, unable to preach without you, Lord. I'm very aware of that. And so, God, I ask that you would just use my tongue, help it to be a mouthpiece for you tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The city of Ephesus was one of the most prominent cities in the ancient world. It was a city of wealth, it was a city of culture, and it was a city that had great influence. And in that city was a church that was, from all outward appearances, that they had it all together. They were faithful, they were hardworking, they were doctrinally sound, and if you were looking for a church in that day that stood for truth and resisted false teaching and truly labored for the Lord, then Ephesus was the church. You didn't have to look any further. The First Baptist Church of Ephesus was it. Yet, although they had all of the wonderful accolades that the Lord gave them in the first few verses of chapter number 2, the Lord does say this in verse number 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Friend, those words pierce deeper than any accusation that the world could ever pierce, because it means this. It means that we can be doing the right things in the right way for the wrong reason and with the wrong heart. You see, busyness does not always mean godliness. Activity does not always equal intimacy, and motion does not always produce devotion. Christ's word to Ephesus was not just criticism, rather it was a call to action. He commended them, yes, but then he goes on and he teaches them and tells them what must take place in their heart in order to get where they should be in their life, and that was very close to him. It was a call to action, to remember, a call to repent, and a call to return to their first love, back to the first love. So I want to give you a few truths from this scripture tonight. Notice, first of all, we see the praise for their devotion. The praise for their devotion. In verse number 2, again, it says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Before the Lord confronts them, he commends them. He sees their diligence. He sees their discernment. He sees their determination. And I'm thankful tonight that God Almighty takes note of everything that we do for him. Aren't you? I'm thankful that he takes note every time someone is vacuuming the floor here at the church, every time someone is mowing the grass or trimming the bush, in the toilets or singing in the choir or working the nursery or working a bus route. God takes note of everything that we do for him, and I'm thankful for that. He commends them for their service. He says that I know thy works. They were faithful. They were busy in the ministry. He says, I see your labor. They were laboring for the Lord. He seen their patience, how they really endured hardship without quitting. And as I thought about the Church of Ephesus, to be honest with you, it sounds a whole lot like First Baptist Church of Clinton, Illinois. A busy church, a going church, a growing church. And listen, all you got to do is sit and watch the pre-service rotation as the slides go through of all that's going on in our church. We are a busy church. And I'm thankful for that. You may not be thankful for that, but I'm thankful for that. We are busy. It's something going on every month, almost every week of the month. It's something always going on. That's not the case everywhere. I'm thankful for the busyness that God gives us, a going church. I'm thankful that we are a growing church, that God is growing First Baptist Church each and every week. It's encouraging to see new and returning visitors and coming on Sunday morning, then on Sunday night, and even on Wednesday night. That is a blessing, and that is an encouragement to see. And it's a wonderful thing to be busy, but may we be careful to make sure our busyness doesn't replace godliness. You see, God commended their service, but then he commended their separation. He said, thou cannot bear them which are evil. This church didn't tolerate sin. They loved the sinner, but they hated the sin. And may that always be said about First Baptist Church as well. Listen, there ought to not be one person that can't come in through those doors, no matter what they're involved in life, that they can't feel welcome and be here to where they can get some spiritual help that they need. Listen, this is a spiritual hospital. I said it last Sunday night, and I'll say it again. They ought to be able to come in here and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and we ought to make them feel welcome. They may not feel comfortable because this book is a book that divides. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. It's a confrontational book, but they ought to feel welcome. They ought to always feel welcome. And that ought to be the case, but this church didn't tolerate sin. They said, the Bible says, thou canst not bear them which are evil. They stood for the truth. And may that be said about us as well. That we are doctrinally sound, that we preach the book straight, that we don't veer or compromise. I got real nervous just sitting on the front row tonight and these spotlights were off. Man, I don't want to have any kind of sign of compromise in my bones, okay? And I'm thankful somebody said, hey, did you notice the spotlights were off? I said, yes, please fix them quickly. We're not interested in going dark up here or having a rock concert or trying to make sure that we're trying to appease our flesh. Hey, we're here to worship God. That's why we're here. We're here to worship God. And God commended their separation and said, thou canst not bear them which are evil. And he went on to say, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and not. These folks at the Church of Ephesus, they could point out a false teacher from a mile away. And I'm hoping that you are learning and growing in the Word of God to where if false teaching were ever to present itself to you, you'd be able to point it out. The false teachers, those that are looking to spread false teaching and those that are even looking to spread discord among the brethren, that you can mark that and say, I'm not having any part of that. Whether it comes from a pulpit or it comes from your Facebook account as well. You ought to be able to, because church, God commended their separation. He commended their service, but he commended their steadfastness. If you see this, the Bible says in verse number 3, and has borne and has patience and for my name's sake has labored, notice this, and has not fainted. These folks were busy. They were going and growing and they were standing for right. They were spiritually tough. It's like a soldier. They were literally taking the word of God seriously where it said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. They were taking that serious, like a soldier that guards his post, and he takes it seriously. He watches day and night. He doesn't bow down, and that's how the Ephesians were. They were watchful. They were vigilant. They were committed, but here's the tragedy. You can guard the truth, and lose your tenderness. You can win the battle for right and Christ still be bothered by your lack of closeness to Him. You can be busy without being close to our Heavenly Father. And to be honest with you, as I read that, I can't help but see my own life when I was a freshman and sophomore in Bible college. Of all places, Bible college. Man, you talk about some of the busiest times of your life is entering into those years as a freshman and sophomore in Bible college. You work full time, you go to classes, you are busy with ministry, working a bus route and all of the stuff that goes on to it. There's a whole lot of spiritual activity. And if you're not careful, if you're not committed, you begin to let the most important thing slip. Let me just put a plug in here for our future Bible college students, those that are leaving here soon. It can be easy to do that. It can be easy to just drift away from your Heavenly Father, although you're busy in spiritual activity. You're looking at one that drifted during those couple of years. Found myself far away from the Lord. I was busy. I was standing for right, man. I was trying to study to be a preacher. But I was wandering far away from the Lord. You ought to guard that. That's what this church of Ephesus, man, they were right. They were busy. They were standing for right. But they had drifted from their Heavenly Father. And God says, I've got somewhat against you. And so we see the praise for their devotion. Notice quickly, number two, we see the problem of their departure. In verse number four, Christ says this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast, notice this, left thy first love. That's serious business right there. When God says, I have somewhat against you, that's not a minor issue, friend. That is a spiritual emergency. God looks at them and says, I noticed everything you did. I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience, I know that you're trying, those say they're apostles and they're not, you're doing a lot of good stuff, he says, but I got something against you. And serious. And then notice the source, they didn't lose their first love accidentally. They left it intentionally. How? By neglecting it. And that's how we drift from our Heavenly Father. It's not normally intentionally where we just make a decision, we're just going a different direction. That sometimes happens. A lot of times it's just through neglect after neglect after neglect after neglect, and before long, there's distance between us and God. When you neglect the important things, you know, you remind you of the story of Mary and Martha. You know, Martha, the Bible says she was cumbered about with much serving, and she was even frustrated that Mary just sat at the feet of Jesus, and she goes to Jesus and she complains and says, hey, I'm busy doing all of this stuff. Mary's just sitting here at your feet, and Jesus rebukes her and says, Mary has done the good part. She said one thing was needful, and Mary did that which was needful and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And can I just say this, church, nothing should replace that time with the Lord. It's so vitally important to the health of your Christian life that we stay close to Him. They didn't lose their first love. They left it intentionally. They left it through neglect. And can I just say this? Love for Christ, that is the root. Spiritual work or spiritual activity, that is the fruit. And if the root dies off or dries up, the fruit will soon go. You know, we can be busy about our Father's business and neglect the important, spending time at His feet. And we can still be busy and do a lot of good things for a time, but all of that will soon cease if we're not spending our time with the Lord. And that's why sometimes we can have our spiritual activity and we get frustrated at the silly things. And you say, well, I'm busy doing this or I'm doing that. And normally you wouldn't get frustrated if you had that time with the Lord, that proper time. You see, the source of their departure, they left their first love intentionally through neglect. Well, what did this look like? It was service without sweetness. It was labor without love. It was religion or religiosity without a relationship. It was duty without devotion. It's like a husband that he still maybe takes out the trash and pays the bills and mows the grass, but he never looks his wife in the eye, never says, I love you, never holds her hand. What is it? He's got the duty down.
That's a miserable existence. Come on, ain't that? It's a miserable existence.
They live their Christian life, duty. But there's no delight in serving the Lord. There's no delight in living for Him. And could it be? I believe it is because we've taken some steps away from our first love. And so we see the problem of their departure. We see the praise for their devotion. But notice quickly, number three, I want you to see the prescription for their restoration. In verse number five, Christ gives us a three-step, if you will, recovery process. If you wandered far away, look at verse number five. It says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What does that look like? First of all, it involves remembering. This is a call to reflection. It says, remember from whence thou art fallen. You have to go back mentally, but I believe sometimes you even have to go back physically, if it be, to where you were close to God. And say, I remember that I was as close to God as I ever have been then in my life. You have to go back and reflect on that time, and you have to say, Lord, there was a time that I was closer to you. It's a time of reflection. It's an examination. We don't like to self-examinate, do we? Because it makes us look ourselves in the mirror and see ourselves for truly how we are. But we ought to do that and say, there was a time. If there wasn't, then keep it up. But if there was, reflect on that and say, Lord, I want to take the steps to get back there. Remember whenever prayer wasn't a chore, but it truly was a joy to talk to your Heavenly Father. I'm talking about just going on a walk and you get caught up in your prayer time that you have walked more than you ever intended to walk. Talking to Him. And it wasn't that you had to drill through a list and you felt like, man, I'm just running through a list to check it off my list that I have a prayer time, but you just were communing with Him as your Heavenly Father. It's amazing whenever you are close to Him, and as we talked about this morning, you see God for who He is, your prayer life changes. It's no longer just a prayer through a list, and if that's where your prayer life is right now, praise the Lord, you're doing something. But it's something quite amazing whenever you can commune with God and it's like He's communing with you. That's what He desires for each and every one of His children. Remember whenever you maybe couldn't wait to open the Word of God and see what He had for you today. Not that you just read with a checklist and you're trying to make sure you send out your text to the fellas to make sure that they don't bother you because you didn't send out a text. But truly, you open up the Word of God with a hot cup of coffee and you just said, God, would you speak to my heart? Remember, loved so much going to the house of God that you didn't mind telling anybody where you were going and what you were doing. Didn't mind inviting your neighbors to come to the house of God because you loved the church house so much. Talking about that first love experience where everything was fresh, everything was new, the fire in your soul was so hot that you loved every second of it. There's a call from the Word of God, if we've left our first love intentionally through neglect, that we must remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Self-examination, a time of reflection, Lord, I have distanced myself. God didn't move, we made the move. And so we've got to make the move to go back. But then he says, nevertheless, he said, remember there from whence thou art fallen. Then it's notice this, and repent. This is a call to reversal. You see, repentance is a Bible doctrine. It's not just a feeling bad for where you're at, but it is a turning back. Repentance involves action. You recognize that there's a problem. You reflect it and say, okay, I remember from whence I have fallen and repent. You notice it and you go back. You take steps to go back. Not that you just come to an altar and say, okay, I remember. Okay, now how am I going to change? What is going to be different? What steps am I going to take to make sure that I don't stay here, but that I truly make progress to get back to where I'm supposed to be? It's recognizing, it's repenting. Lord, I've drifted. I've left the embers that were burning in my soul grow cold. And so there's a call to remember. There's a call to repent. But then there's a call to repeat. Notice this. It says, and do the first works. You know what that is? That's a call to renewal. Didn't we talk about that this morning? Renewed revival. A renewal. The first works. What is that? What is the first works? I believe it's just getting back to the basics of your Christian life. Well, what is that? Spending time in the Scripture. You know, the Bible still says in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you hunger and thirst after the Word of God? Or is it truly, as I said this morning, just black words on white pieces of paper and you just read for duty's sake? Or are you truly reading for devotion's sake and saying, God, would you please speak to me? The first works, getting back to the Scripture, again, spending time in supplication, not just saying prayers, but truly meeting with God, where Jeremiah says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not, where God says, ask and it shall be given unto thee, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. And then service, not just doing tasks for the Lord, for duty's sake, but truly worshiping the Lord through our service to Him. You know, whenever you have the proper devotion, then your service for Him becomes a delight once again. It truly does. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It really is. I mean, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. To do anything in God's kingdom work, it's a privilege. And we ought to consider it as such, but whenever we're doing it for duty's sake only, there's no delight. It's like when a fire grows cold, if a bonfire or in a fireplace, the fire grows cold, what do? You don't just sit there and say, well, it died. You don't just yell out in the darkness and say, the fire's gone out. No. You start poking around the embers. You add maybe a little bit of more wood on the fire and you watch the flames return. That's exactly what Christ is calling us to do tonight, is to remember, to repent, and to repeat, to return works. And what that is like stirring the embers of the fire in your soul to putting some more fuel on the fire, and those flames start to rise up once again. See, the prescription for restoration, it's so simple. You know, to be honest with you, the Christian life really isn't all that hard. We make it far more difficult than it really is. Right? We make it difficult. But He's just calling on us to walk with Him, to talk with Him, to live for Him, to serve Him. But every once in a while we drift away to where it's a duty and not a delight. Let me give you two more thoughts tonight. We see the praise for their devotion, the problem of their departure, the prescription for restoration. Notice, fourth of all, quickly, we see the peril of their disobedience. You see in verse number 5, the latter part, it says, in other words, if you don't remember, if you don't repent, if you don't repeat, He says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Candlestick. It's a symbol of the church's witness, if you will. In other words, God's saying, if you don't get back to where you're supposed to be, I'm going to remove any influence you would have ever had. And to be honest with you, church, that scares me to death. To think that we could get into a place in our spiritual life as First Baptist Church. We can be so busy, so comforted about with much serving, doing a lot of things. But if we're not where we're supposed to be with the Lord spiritually, in our devotion to Him, He could remove our influence from this area and even around the world. See, we're out of business without the blessing of Almighty God. We may have a building. We may have the prettiest lawn in Clinton. We got a pretty good looking yard, I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to talk bad about the other churches, but we're winning on the yard game. Thank you, Pastor Cameron. We don't have weeds growing in our parking lot. Because you know what that screams? You're out of business. The building's clean. Thank you, Brother Terry and Brother Frank. Keep the building clean. We can have all of those things in order. We can have the programs. We can have the plans. Man, we have the ministries. Everything has a purpose for trying to reach the lost in our community and around the world. But if we don't have God's blessing, then we are out of business. The removal of their influence, but the peril of their disobedience involves the reality of Christ's discipline. You see, history tells us that the church of Ephesus eventually disappeared. And no matter how strong you are today, disobedience can bring decline tomorrow. All of us are susceptible to drifting. All of us are susceptible to wandering. All of us are susceptible to leaving our first love. And so there's a peril of their disobedience. Lastly, I want you to see this tonight. Notice the promise for their devoted. The promise for the devoted. Verse number 7, it says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I didn't go ear inspection tonight, but it looks like we all mostly have ears tonight. "If you have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then notice this, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." There's the invitation to hear, but there's the incentive to have. Those who return to their first love will enjoy fellowship with Christ forever. And what more do we want? You see, leaving your first love is not the end, but stay from it will be. The end of your influence, the end of your closeness. Christ is calling each and every one of us back as he was this church of Ephesus. He didn't want to, it wasn't a call to criticize them. It was a call to action and says, "Hey, I know everything you do, but I've got just somewhat against thee. You've left your first love." And he says, "I want you to remember. I want you to repent. Remember where you used to be with God. Repent and admit where we are now. And repeat, returning to those first works." I say it often, but James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You find yourself distant from your Heavenly Father. You found yourself drifting away. You know, it's nothing to drift. You know, you spend any time in a boat. I've got this little fancy thing on my boat. It's called Spot Lock, and it's on the trolling motor. I can literally push the button and the GPS coordinated, it'll lock me in place right there to where I can stay right on the brush pile and catch the crappie right there in front of the brush pile. But even with that latest and greatest technology, before I know it, sometimes I'm like, where did that brush pile go? And I'm finding it with the live scope and I've drifted just a little bit in the opposite direction. So what I have to do, I have to move myself back. It's the same way spiritually. You think I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I really haven't drifted any, but then if you turn and look in the mirror yourself and just remember from whence thou hast fallen, you say, "Oh my goodness, I have drifted a little bit. I used to be so involved, used to do so much. I used to have so much delight in my service to the Lord. But now it's just become a duty." God help us to not be a church that wants loved Christ deeply, but now only talks about it in the past tense. You see, church, 186 years of history does not guarantee our future existence. But I'll tell you what does, and that is this: a people who stay intimate with their Lord and a people who stay involved continually in the first works and doing it for the right reason, in a right relationship. According to this text, that's what makes the difference. And so you know what we have to do? We have to do verse number 7. To him that overcometh. Overcometh. Talked about that last week. Overcome. If you find yourself tonight in a distant relationship, a drifting relationship, may this message not be a criticism, but a call to action. Come home. Come to your Heavenly Father. Stay close to Him. Fall back in love with Him. Do the first works. Read your Bible with intentionality and say, God, I want something from your book. Talk to Him in prayer. Serve Him with delight. Because if you're only serving out of duty, you will dry up in short order. It's not good serving the Lord out of duty. Be honest with you, it's a drag. It's a drudgery. There's nothing better than whenever you have the devotion right, your service becomes a delight once again. And so I don't know where the message finds you tonight. Maybe you're right where you need to be with the Lord. Then if anything, this message ought to be an encouragement to you to keep on keeping on. But this week I had to self-examine my own life. Search me, O God. I don't want to drift. I don't want to be away from the Lord. I want to be close to Him. I want to live for the Lord all the days of my life. And sometimes we have to examine ourselves. That's why God gives us meetings like we're about to enter into. Just a couple of day meetings just to push the reset button, make sure I'm right where I need to be with the Lord. Not over here, not over there, just right where I need to be. And so it's a call to action tonight to examine yourself. Prepare yourself for this meeting. It'd be great to go into the revival meeting right with the Lord to where you can just get even closer. And so I encourage you to examine your heart tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed, thank you for listening tonight. We all are susceptible to drifting. Getting off course just a little bit. That's when we have to examine ourselves. We're out of business without God's blessing on our life, without God's blessing on this church. I'm thankful for what God's done in the past, but I don't want to always just talk about the past. I want to say what God's doing right now. What God did this week. What God intends to do next week. And we can have everything in place, everything right. And I believe we do a good job. I really do. But I want to make sure we're doing it for the right reason, with the right heart. Because we truly love the Lord and we're close to Him. Not because it's just our duty. Back to the first love. Can I just encourage you tonight? Here's the message. Fall back in love with God. Love is an action. It's a choice. Choose to go back in love with Him. Back to the first love. Our Father, we thank You so much for giving us this example in the Word of God. God, we thank You for giving us the steps to getting back to our first love. God, I pray that You'd help us as Your people tonight to remember, to repent, and then to repeat, to go back to the first works. Help us all to examine our life and see where we are with You spiritually. Lord, if any of it drifted, I pray that You'd help us to get back to that close relationship. Lord, if we have found ourselves only serving out of duty and there's no longer a delight, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see for that for what it is. Come and confess that and take the steps necessary to get back closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The instruments are beginning to play. This altar will be open. Why don't